Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet it is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Double Take. And today we have a film I think that could be a classic, but it's a Netflix film called Train Dreams.
Right.
So I thought, who would be my best co-host for this? I said, well, this is tall in the saddle, Gary Hammond. I could see him in the Pacific Northwest. I can see him out west riding his poor horse. So what's it about, Gary?
Well, it's not a cowboy movie. It's a movie about a sawyer, which is a timber cutter, basically. But he also builds a bridge in one instance. But he lives outside Spokane, and he's an orphan that was sent there at the age of 5 or 6 with a sign pinned to his jacket. From the east somewhere. He doesn't know who his parents were or where he was, but in any event, he's sent out there. And there's no mention of his adoptive parents or how that life was. We see him next after the train as a young man working, and it's a dramatic shot, working, cutting down trees and sawing the trees and working that life.
We're talking early 20th century.
Yes.
So he's a logger and a railroad worker.
Well, he works on building the bridge. Yeah, he does. So he does the work that's attendant to driving the spikes and so on of the rails over the bridge. But otherwise, he doesn't like that. And he doesn't like the railroad work. But go ahead.
Movies have figured out a way of showing that transition. And trains sure are the transition point for our civilization. I remember one years ago in which the symbol of change was an apple peeler.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sit on the train and doing the apple peeler, and it was truly a marvelous invention.
Right. Nature versus man, or versus development, and man versus nature and versus development, and man struggling to get through, and nature coming back to bite you on the butt.
Well, you know, I love it. That's so true, at least as I'm thinking about this film. It's an ambivalent business. First of all, the trains are bringing progress, but in their wake, they're destroying forests. They're making some lives miserable.
Yes.
Even a chance to do a kind of anti-Trump theme by throwing an Asian into a gorge just because the boys, these rough boys, don't like immigrants.
Yeah.
So nature frequently in this film. Now, Joel Edgerton stars in this.
Right.
And he's one of the producers.
He's amazing.
Yeah. And I just love this guy. He is so rugged. Have you seen him before?
I haven't, but I looked him up because I was interested. He was in The Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio.
He played Tom Buchanan in that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was in Warrior with Tom Hardy. He was in The Gift with Jason Bateman. He was in The King as Falstaff with Timothy Chalamet. He was in Bright with Will Smith. Trailer looks interesting. He was in Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence, which I saw, which is even more interesting.
Yeah.
And then he was in Loving, which I loved. He played Mr. Loving in Loving versus Virginia about the misogyny charge that was filed against them. Very talented.
Yeah, and the other one. Edgerton is a rugged everyman.
Yes.
He's produced some films, including this one, in which he stars. So,
but he is an attractive person. He's a manly man.
He's
Australian. Manly, He has no accent.
That's right. He is.
And he's come. I'm going to go back in the movies that I haven't seen that he's in. I'm going to see if I can stream those.
So tell me. Now, we've got people who just wouldn't see a movie like this because they would complain there's nothing happening. I mean, there is something happening.
Oh, yeah.
There is tragedy in this. But basically, what I love about this, it's so slow and somber and contemplative. Mm-hmm. Would that be...
The train is the fastest thing in the movie.
Good
and
point.
He does have some horses that he uses later in the movie after he leaves sawyering. He is somebody that's just going through life and seems... He actually looks bemused in the scenes before he meets Gladys. And he meets Gladys because his adoptive brother, I think it is, takes him to church, and he meets Gladys, and she says hello to him, which is something that women don't do, or do they? But in any event, and that's how the relationship starts. And he starts to come out of his stoic, and he starts to enjoy life.
Lucky guy.
Yeah.
Because there's no way if she didn't come up to him. This guy is so introverted. And this is Felicity Jones, the actress whom I just adore. She has the best overbite in film history. She was in The Theory of Everything.
Yes.
So, you know, I've really found her a very, very, very attractive actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's here.
Very talented.
Yeah. And she comes at a time when he's, I mean, what I love about this guy and the way Edgerton does it is that he's not expecting a whole lot from life.
He's expecting nothing. He's just another day. Maybe.
But yet he has moments where he appreciates, for instance, the beauty of nature. Mm-hmm. He'll just say, isn't it beautiful? I don't know whether I could do it. I said, maybe Gary could do this. Maybe he could live a reclusive life. I said hermit initially, but I think a reclusive life.
I've traveled extensively, and in the West, particularly those grand vistas. In the movie The Big Country, Gregory Peck is a sea captain.
You're the only other guy I know who knows that movie.
He's a sea captain, and he's visiting the woman that he plans to marry out in Wyoming, and some old guy says, have you ever seen anything as big as this? And Gregory Peck says, yeah, the ocean. And the guy goes, harumph. So
that wouldn't be the one Burl Ives.
No, it was not Burl Ives. It was somebody civilized person. And Burl Ives is not civilized in that movie.
But he is in the movie.
He's Big Daddy. Yeah. Well, not Big Daddy. He was Big Daddy there's some shooting in this movie, and there's some Robert is his name in the movie. And,
right.
And his life continues to be hard.
Yeah, this is based on a novella, Denise Johnson or something. Yeah, Dennis Johnson.
Yeah. Johnson, I've read another book of Johnson's. I forget his first name now, but anyway.
Dennis, D-E-N-I-S. Yeah. So this is a fictional character, mm-hmm. but believe me, the way Edgerton plays him is so real and magnetizing. Well, somebody might say there's nothing happening. I'm seeing there's everything happening. This is a human being. Will Patton is the narrator, mm-hmm. as if you're inside of Edgerton's character, Robert Grainier, inside his head. As the little thoughts he has are profound. Mm-hmm. They're a human being finding beauty anywhere in the smallest things. One of the great shots you mentioned was when they start marking out their little cottage.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's where the window's going
to
be.
Yeah, the door, and she pretends to open it. It's really sweet. And they're playing house.
Yeah, right. That's good.
They really make a wonderful life.
Yeah. He's going to face tragedy, but up until that point, it's pretty lyrical. One of the other things I like about this is it doesn't overplay the difficulties.
No, it's just what you have to do if you're living that way.
Yeah. But you could make it a pretty gruesome movie. You could, but they did not.
Bad things happen to people. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. The thing is, it's just part of it. And nobody gets too flustered about it.
I love that, yes.
Yeah, people die and everybody's like, okay, well, you know, here we go.
And I know this to be true because when I used to work as a greenskeeper in college, we'd have these guys who were really old guys. And one guy called A.C. Card. How do you get a name like A.C. Card? And he wore an engineer's cap.
Uh-huh.
And old as the hills, working with us.
Right.
I remember sifting dirt and listening to him talking about his tales. Incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point, Edgerton's character says, well, whether true or not. Whether true or not, and they don't. But they do interpret life. And you have some human connections, like the grocer,
mm-hmm.
who is, like an Indian?
He's an Indian. Interesting. It's a middle-class Indian operating a store in town.
The little human connection. And doesn't he give him a loaf of bread at one point?
Yeah, because he doesn't have much money and he's suffering after tragedy. And
so there's human kindness going, and there, of course, we're going on and on. And mm-hmm, we're,
as we do.
And if people want to hear more, and they always want to hear more from you, and they want me to do less. I don't know how I could do less when I have you on. But anyway, we have the movie is Train Dream. If you want to hear more about us, you've got to go to WCBE.org, Podcast Experience. It's going to be double take. So, Gary, what do you recommend? Not to your wife, who can't take brutality, so she bailed out on you.
Well, Terry and I were watching the early part of the movie, and something happened, and she decided she wasn't going to watch it anymore because it shocked her so.
Right.
So, and I was going to say it's not for the faint of heart, but that's a hackneyed phrase that doesn't apply here. It's not horrible. It's just life and death.
Daughter, Gabrielle, who lives in Idaho, was thrilled by it because most of this is set in Idaho, and they have a pretty rugged...
It's in Washington, John.
Well, it goes to, but it does. A lot of it is
right.
In Idaho,
right.
It is. The point being, Idaho...
Is the actual
Gabby
scene.
Is really liberal, living in Sun Valley.
Right.
And you think Sun Valley is like the rest of Idaho? No way. I know, and we all know it's a pretty conservative place.
Yeah.
So try to catch it on Netflix. Almost anybody could appreciate it if you'll give it the time, if it gives it that slow, but what is happening here, what is really happening, and it's inside the character that Joel Edgerton plays.
It's an easy watch, actually. It's very comfortable. There's nothing about it that's boring. It does move forward, not in the sense of action sequences, but it's moving forward, character development, story development, and things are happening to people, all of which are entirely credible.
In Train Dreams, sequences in which I shouldn't reveal so people can be surprised when they do. But there's one that I'd really have to mention because it touched me. Mm-hmm. The sequence with Carrie Condon.
Yes.
She is a wonderful actress. She is. Not your most blazingly beautiful. Claire. Yeah, she sees clearly. And she's a forest ranger, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean,
I was in Montana outside, I think, Missoula, where the university is. I went on a long hike up to a fire tower there, which is in Montana, which is no longer used because they use satellites and all this other stuff. But that interior shot of it, that's just what they're like.
It wasn't that beautiful,
though,
with all the windows.
With all the windows. It's got windows all 365 degrees. So it's pretty cool.
And I was hopeful. But one of the things I like about this movie is not all cliched.
You're right. And I thought, this is how it's going to go, that there would be...
And I thought that was a real virtue of it.
And even as their relationship developed in friendship, there were even more hints of it. But it wasn't going to... It's not happening.
And I liked the sequences with the dogs.
Yes.
And finally making a connection with something live. And the way the grocer comes and visits him.
Yeah, and the dogs make the connection, and the grocer makes the connection because he's not reaching out to anybody. He is entire to himself.
And the other thing that I really like about this is there's nothing lamentable about it. It's not like, oh my gosh, he's just craving for human connection. He's not mad that way.
No, he's not. I was lamenting that he was living this life. Frankly.
Yes, yes.
But he was just living this life. He continued to saw trees and so on until he aged out of timber work. And part of it was the invention of the chainsaw.
Yes, a great moment. Thank you. I'm looking at it saying, they had chainsaws then?
Well, but he dies in well into the 20th century.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I think actually in the 1960s.
1968, yeah. So yes. This would be even in the 50s, they would have chainsaws. Yeah. But he ages out and he's considered the old man on the job, and when we see him as a young man early in the movie, he is respectful of the old men. And when we see him when he's the old man, the other workers are not respectful of him at all. And I think he just got tired of it and found something else to do. And also the town developed enough that there was other work to do, whereas in the early days, there was no work.
There are other movies about recluses or hermits or simply people who are abandoned by catastrophe. Mm-hmm. For instance, I'm thinking about Castaway with Tom Hanks. I forget how he got down there. Was it a plane or something?
Yeah, there was a FedEx plane that crashed and washed ashore with a soccer ball.
How do you remember that? It was a FedEx. Your memory is amazing.
And a soccer ball. and a package that washed up that he was to deliver. And he, faithful to his charge, when he went away on the raft that he made, he took the package with him to deliver it, ultimately. But go ahead.
So what's the difference?
The difference is, it depends. I mean, Tom Hanks was he washed up on an island and he was stuck there.
Yes.
He was trapped and he was so anxious to be free and to get out of there and get away from that. Robert he's just where he is. He's in the present. And when he leaves...
By his choice.
By his choice.
Right.
When he leaves family to go work, he goes and works because they're trying to get money so that they can do something where he can spend more time with her. And then after that, he's got...
Wonderful, anyway. So it's about whether one has the choice or not. And then there's one that came out a few years ago that's about a guy alone. And this would be The Martian.
Yeah, that was good.
I love that movie.
That was good.
I hear it's coming back in some form.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Martian 2.
There's one about recluses because they choose to work this way. And this is The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And this is our two wackos there, Willem Dafoe and Rob Pattinson.
Right.
And there's one where people are alone that I really get kind of even anxious with the two of them. Mm-hmm. Do you remember their relationship?
Well, it was The Odd Couple, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yes, it was. The Odd Couple in The Lighthouse. Yeah. And crazy, you think?
Well, I would.
They drive each other crazy.
Yeah, but the thing is that Claire says to him, you're different. And I forget what he says.
No, he says we all are.
We all are. And, yeah. And then, yeah.
And she says no. That's what I like about her. Boy, yeah. Is she feisty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me give another one. Most recently, a recluse of sorts would be in The Whale. Brendan Fraser, you know, the obese man who is trying to reconnect with his daughter.
And yeah, but it's the trying to reconnect. And Robert is trying to reconnect with his daughter. And he is having, and it's called train dreams.
Right, thank you,
His dreams are very real to him and very real to me. And some of them, I question whether they are things that actually happened.
Yeah, it's so great. The title is so enigmatic. But when you see the movie, you see it is dreams. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dreams that trains bring, the dreams that Robert has, and they're vivid. There's that one point with his daughter where you're not sure it's true or not.
Right.
And Jeremiah Johnson.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, with Robert Redford.
Yeah, but he was content when he was given the woman, and then he found the boy that was whose parents were killed, and they lived in the crazy woman's house. He wanted a family then.
Okay.
And he
didn't he have a battle with the crow?
He did with the crow or the Blackfeet, but he had that battle because he desecrated their grounds. But he intended to just be up in the mountains by himself.
Yeah, right.
And hunt and trap, and then his life changed, and he really enjoyed that. And he went through it because he was under constant attack by the Indians, and he was a formidable opponent to them. And this guy was certainly, he didn't demonstrate martial arts skills or shooting people or
other things. Right, right.
He was entire unto him. I mean, he was satisfied with himself.
Yes, right.
He could live by himself entirely, live off the land with a little bit of money that he got for flour.
Excellent. As a side note on that, it's a role that Redford sought out. Because he needed to change his profile from being a handsome leading man.
Yeah.
And that was a great choice for him.
It was.
And a big surprise that he could transform himself. For those of us who've seen it, realize one of the great loners is First Blood. I mean, this is...
Rambo.
Right, Rambo. This is Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, and he wasn't looking for this, but boy, he sure brought it back.
Yeah. He was a former Green Beret, and he was fighting with the sheriff, Brian Dennehy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great role for him. So sorry when he died. One recent, which I'm not sure you've seen, but I really enjoyed, and this was a well done by a Nick Cage, called The Pig. He has to come out of hiding. He was a former chef up in the Seattle area, living by himself with his pig, who was a truffle snuffer, and somebody stole his pig.
Sacre bleu.
I know. So he had to go back into civilization to try to find his pig. He does all kinds of roles in some of
them. Well, he does, and he plays off such different characters. And to know that he was playing off a pig is really, I'm almost exuberant to know that, and I'm going to find that. So
my final one from the past.
Okay.
All right. Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Is that a loner or not? Yeah. I guess we're not talking a hermit. We're talking a loner.
Yeah, just loner. And he's alone by himself in New York City.
Yeah.
And this guy's alone in the woods, which is easy to do unless somebody comes to visit you.
Yep.
And the other thing is his world is turned upside down three times in this movie, in my judgment. The first is with Gladys.
Yes.
The second time is without Gladys. And then at the end, which I won't give away, comes to understand what has happened to him.
Yes, I think he begins to understand the connection between everyone and the universe, which is mentioned, I think, by Claire at some point.
Right.
But that philosophically, it seems to come together on that moment, that final sequence, including a machine that is taking civilization to a whole new world, and he is there, and he somehow gets it. And I don't know, there are moments, and certainly in my life, where I think I understood better than I thought I did.
Oh, it comes and goes, but for me, it's like fireflies. I catch them momentarily in my jar, and then they die for lack of oxygen. So,
all right, Gary, is there anything else in all of your extensive notes here that we've been unable to talk about? We have time. It's a simple movie, so it's not as if we have to dig too far.
The cinematography is terrific.
Oh,
the
scenery
is terrific.
Thank you.
And you touched on that with Idaho, and all of that's great. And
The
dreams and reality are confused for him, and he responds to each of them the same.
Yeah.
And he knows it might be a dream, but he's happy to believe
and
it.
And so well done that we might have to pause for a minute to see, is this real or is he dreaming? Part of getting inside of his head.
Yeah.
and about working toward that final sequence that you mentioned, where he seems to see clearly, but as in the film, it's not all brilliant in VistaVision right in front of you. It's just one of those brief moments.
It's just a, it's just a sweet moment, which is mentioned with the by the narrator. It's not like I figured that out, but it's he's got a smile, and the narrator is helping us see it.
Well, Gary Hammond, the film is called Train Dreams. It's available on Netflix. Joel Edgerton is listed in the Golden Globes for acting, for actor, and he definitely should be. So what do you recommend? Notwithstanding your wife, Terry, who bailed on this movie, right? So she's a sensitive soul. How, for a whole family, what do you think? You know, what's your advice?
It's not a kid's movie. Right? It's a movie for adult thinking people who have patience.
Yes, thank you.
And enjoy beautiful scenery and good storytelling. The characters are sympathetic, mostly honorable.
Kudos to the director, Clint Bentley, who made a name for himself on a film called Jack. This shows some real talent along the lines of what you're saying, which is that if you just give it time, if you have patience with it, you'll find, as I was, I'm anxious to know what happens to him. Because anything could happen.
The things that happen fast in the movie are all bad.
Good
stuff happens.
I know you mentioned the train.
Not just the train. There are other things that happen fast, and they're all bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, as we should have expected. I mean, you're up there pretty much by yourself in a very wild place. Pacific Northwest is a favorite location for people who go crazy. So in this one, he doesn't go crazy, let me tell you that. But it is the Pacific Northwest, and there is a feeling that you're,
you know, that you're alone up there.
That you're alone up there. It's called Train Dreams.
Train Dreams.